HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Deputy U.S. Attorney General questioned Jeffrey Epstein's convicted accomplice Ghislaine Maxwell for a second day. She's serving time for sex trafficking. Her attorney, David Marcus.
We're not going to comment on what we're hoping for. We just today and yesterday answered questions.
So she hasn't been offered clemency or anything?
No offers have been made.
There are growing calls for the Epstein case files to be released. Brutal heat has gripped much of the Midwest and East. Meteorologist Jessica Birch.
There's over 100 million people today that are under heat alerts. On top of stormy weather, feels like temperatures today can jump up to around 100 degrees throughout many communities in the South and all the way into the Midwest, too.
Israel now says it will allow other countries to airdrop aid into Gaza. Joe English is with UNICEF.
In the past week alone, we've seen at least 4 more children reportedly die of starvation, and we're getting reports each and every day of that number increasing.
The latest ceasefire talks have broken down. CBS News Brief, I'm Heather Bosch.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Republican state lawmakers have introduced a bill seeking to cap tuition increases at the universities of Wisconsin. The public university system recently approved a 5% increase in tuition for next year, the third year in a row that tuition has increased. The proposed legislation would cap future tuition increases to no higher than the rate of inflation. It's the third time in recent years that Republican lawmakers have attempted to cap tuition increases at the universities of Wisconsin. Tuition and fees make up over half of the system's yearly revenue. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced he will not be seeking a third term in the 2026 election. In a statement on Thursday, Governor Evers highlighted his dedication to promoting education during his time as governor, including using his partial veto power in the 2023-2025 biennial budget to extend school funding increases for the next 400 years. Governor Evers was first elected to state office as superintendent of public instruction in 2009. He was reelected to that position twice before running for governor in 2018. A former Rice Lake woman will go to trial on charges of felony homicide by negligent operation of a vehicle after entering a not guilty plea in Barron County Circuit Court. 56-year-old Patricia Cronquist is accused of passing vehicles in a construction zone on Highway 53 near Haugen last August, causing a fatal head-on collision that led to the death of 71-year-old Ira Luplau. A 2-day trial was scheduled for November 24th at a hearing on Thursday. Cronquist is facing up to 10 years in prison and a $25,000 fine if convicted. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has rejected the majority of the land Ridge Breeze Dairy requested for manure spread in Pierce County. Local residents have pushed back against the concentrated animal feeding operations' massive expansion project, expressing concerns about the environmental impacts of the farm adding nearly 5,000 cows to its herd. The factory farm had requested that 2,600 acres be approved for manure spread, but the DNR approved only about 600 due to erosion and soil loss concerns. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Baseball tonight in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A special night at the ballpark. The Brewers open a home series against the Marlins today, followed by a home run derby. Over 25 former players will be on hand, including Ryan Braun, Corey Hart, J.J. Hardy, and Prince Fielder, all to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the opening of Miller Park, now American Family Field. NBA, Damian Lillard says he has great memories of playing alongside Giannis, but admits he was shocked when the Bucks waived him after just 2 years with the team. NFL. At the Packers training camp, running back Marshawn Lloyd finally back on the practice field after a long rookie season plagued with injuries, then surgery to remove his appendix in December.
It's fun, like the little kid in the candy store, man. It's exciting. You know, last year was a lot of watching, and now it's being out there, being able to be tired again, trying to catch my breath. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be out there.
That's Packers running back Marshawn Lloyd with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Hazy sunshine from smoke, a high today in the mid-80s, little humid. For tonight, a partly cloudy sky, lows dropping to the upper 60s, shower and storm chances return for the weekend. Partly sunny and highs in the mid-80s to 90. Right now it's 80.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I've been trying to learn sheepshead for 40 years. My father-in-law is still a card counter, knows what everybody has. It is so easy to go, oh gosh, I still don't know who the partner is. And is that a trump card or is it not? And so I'm still asking myself all these questions while they're busy taking all of my nickels. The one thing that got me where they allow me to play is getting the app. For all the technology that's out there, that is one of the positive notes.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media News Director Shally Pittman will be joining us to break down all of the news that happened over the weekend. Nothing will happen. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is 93.5 The Tap.
On location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. Now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh here in our beautiful studios, WGBW, in downtown Green Bay, Wisconsin, along with our engineer producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, back at the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison. It is the 25th of July, Friday, TGIF. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody. Great to have you along again. Day two here in Green Bay. We're inside today in our great studio, Zommers, at Green Bay. Now, yesterday, we were over at beautiful Green Bay Preble High School, not too far from us. Great new addition. But it was hot. It was sultry. It was humid. Todd was sweating like a stuck pig because I was carrying all this equipment. And then the HVAC wasn't working quite right there. And I thought, well, this will be great because we'll be at the studios tomorrow. And I get in here. And apparently now, there have been some changes, Zommers, if you haven't heard here at Green Bay. And the HVAC is locked. They know that they don't trust Todd to set the temperature here anymore, the folks on the 12th floor, so I can't change it, and it's baking in here as well today as well. So for the love of goodness, let's hope I don't have to remove my shirt before the end of the show today.
I can just turn off your camera if that happens.
Oh, very good. I appreciate that. I absolutely appreciate that. Look, big show today. Coming up in hour two, by the way, it's Shark Week this week. We haven't had time to talk about that. Today is what's worse, snakes or sharks. So we'll talk about that. Also, before the end of this hour, going to have our very own Mike Clemens, sports reporter here. Packers training camp getting underway this week, just down the road a couple of miles. Clemens will be reporting live from there just before the shareholders meeting. And boy, howdy, did he show up in style if you saw our social media posts. Our very own Pat Kreitlow gave him a ride into town on his boat. So that will time. We'll talk about that. And State Representative Robin Vining is going to be here with a big announcement on her political future. And Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner is going to be here right beside me very soon, talking about an important new proposal at the state capitol. But Zommers, it's 8 past the hour at 2 o'clock. It's Free Brewer Ticket Friday. Let's go.
Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
That's right, it's Free Brewer Ticket Friday, your chance to win 4 club-level seats at a Brewers game. And this isn't just any Brewers game, folks. Listen closely. We're about to give away 4 tickets to the Brewers game next Wednesday, July the 30th, at 1:10 in the afternoon against the terrible Chicago Cubs. The Brewers are a game, I think, right now still ahead of the Cubbies in the NL Central, trying to stay that way. This could decide the entire NL Central race, this coming series here next week at AmFam Field in Milwaukee. So rule number one, you must be able to go to this game. You cannot trade it for another game. Number two, don't be a jerk and buy these tickets and give it to somebody. You have to be able to go as a Milwaukee fan to this game on July 30th at 1:10. All right, here's their club-level seats, great seats, four of them. Here's how you win. Download the Civic Media app at the Apple or iPhone or Android device if you don't have it. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up. Download that. Open up the Civic Media app. First 11 stations are the ones that our show is on. Click on one of them. Open it up. Lower right-hand corner, it says text. Open that up. Now I'm going to give you the word of the show. Text this word right now before 4 o'clock to be eligible. The word is Todd. T-O-D-D. I'm not making that up. The word is Todd. My first name, T-O-D-D. Make sure you spell it with double D's. There's a joke there somewhere that really doesn't apply to me. But anyway, T-O-D-D is the word. I don't write these folks, the folks at promos, and God love them. But text the word Todd, my first name, T-O-D-D. You have to spell it correctly or the computer won't accept it and you won't be eligible. Text the word Todd, T-O-D-D, right now on the Civic Media app. You have to have until 4 o'clock to do it. Somebody's going to win free Brewer tickets at the end of the show for next week's game against the Cubs, 1:10 in the afternoon on Wednesday, July the 30th. Again, the word is Todd, T-O-D-D. We'll continue to remind you throughout the show.
And Todd,
Brewer's back underway. Pardon?
You know what the best part of this contest is?
Oh, yes.
It's statewide.
We don't have a 12th floor here in Green Bay, but back home,
but
the lawyers on the 12th floor, yes, want to remind us that the contest is statewide. Thank you, Zommers. The Brewers back underway after a day off yesterday, back at AmFam Field. Series against the Marlins kicks off soon. Pre-game show underway at 2:35 on many of these stations. The first pitch will be thrown out at 3:10 this afternoon. Brewers against the Marlins. All right, it is 11 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock, and sliding in like Michael Che on SNL, how cool is this? There he is. Look at that, ladies and gentlemen. It's Ahmad Rivera Wagner, state representative for the Green Bay area. Representative, once again, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, and you're here during training week, so you have the right outfits on.
I try.
It's Fridays, at which we wear our Packer garb, so you fit right in.
Actually, Thank you.
You did a better job than I did.
I'm not sure about that, but I appreciate it. Got to meet you the first time last year on the campaign trail. You worked in the mayor's office. You're somebody who loves Green Bay.
Absolutely.
Love that about you. You're an advocate for your part of the state. First of all, just kind of since you were on the program since then, number one, how are things in your district? Then we'll get into politics.
Well, as you know, Green Bay, Wisconsin is, according to U.S. News and World Report, the number one place to live in the country. So it is an absolute joy to be here. We just recently hosted a very big event, the NFL Draft, which had a huge statewide economic impact. We are proud going into our season. The mayor, we're getting to our summer, so you should enjoy Bay Beach. Mm-hmm. Come hang out on our city deck, where folks got rides by Pat right into the city.
Right.
So right now, one of the best times to be in Green Bay is in the summer, and we have just come off a year of just doing incredible, dynamic things, highlighting how special Green Bay really is. So you're here at the most perfect time, and it's an exciting time to be a state rep for this great city.
Well, it's really, really beautiful. I haven't been, my stepmom grew up in Green Bay for part of her life, and been to Bay Beach a lot of times. I haven't been there in a while, but as I came over the bridge to go to Green Bay Preble yesterday, there it was, and I'm like, man, what a great asset for this area of the state.
And folks forget this. Our amusement park and our wildlife sanctuary are government-run. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that's unique about this blue-collar community is that we take care of each other, and we do it in really thoughtful, innovative ways. We own part of the stadium still, the field itself. Mm-hmm. We own our Bay Beach amusement park. We own a wildlife sanctuary. There's a way in which government does good here, and we take care of everybody. And it's still 25 cents a ticket.
Isn't that crazy?
To be able
Amazing.
To.
Amazing. Great.
Right. And so there's something good about what happens when you come to Green Bay, that we find smart ways to take care of everyone. And government is actually not a bad word in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
It actually works when you listen to the people that elect you.
So
right? that's very helpful. And I don't live too far from here, so I'm about 3 blocks away.
That's awesome.
It's a walkable, wonderful downtown.
It is.
I live in Astor. There's like dog parks down here. We really are just a great place to live, to raise a family if that's what you're doing, to retire. We just have all these really exciting things. And we have a fantastic mayor, Mayor Eric Genrich, who has just been a champion for working people in the city.
I want to circle back that, don't let me forget. But first of all, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, the big political news broke yesterday while we were in Green Bay here. Governor Tony Evers, Democrat, announced he would not seek a third term. He's going to go out on what Bill McCosh called on this show yesterday, undefeated, right?
That's right.
5 statewide races.
That's right.
Undefeated. As a Democrat, A, what was your reaction? And B, looking forward, what are your thoughts?
Well, one, I was a bit sad. I mean, to be honest, the governor has been so good to Green Bay. We talked about some of these major efforts in the city, the NFL draft. He helped make sure we secure funding for that. We have, you probably saw them on your way in, we have these giant coal piles downtown. Mm-hmm. He helped us secure funding to actually move those coal piles for the first time in 125 years. That kind of responsive, thoughtful government that actually invests in its people, that really make tangible material improvements, is something that you just don't get every day.
Yeah.
And to have someone in the Capitol who really gets that, and not just the investments, he shows up here. The governor was just here recently from working with little kids in our schools to talking about the coal piles and the draft to working with our firefighters, having an elected official who shows up, who cares, and also invest in its people. Green Bay couldn't be prouder. And you know, in Tao-Town, we know a good, one thing or two about champions.
Oh, yeah.
So, exactly. We know that. And so he was a champion for this community in a way that, I would be remiss if I said that sometimes Democrats forget that there's all kinds of us outside of Madison and Milwaukee, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was refreshing to feel like we were just as equal and just as fair in his eyes, and that we got our fair share of engagement and support. He was a phone call away. And so truth be told, I'm actually quite sad. Mm-hmm. I think there's a big shoes to fill, but I also think that people deserve to enjoy their ice cream and their cheese. And this kind of work is exhausting. And so I'm wishing him and Kathy a wonderful vacation when his term is up, because isn't there nothing more exciting than doing a really good job of being a true public servant and then going off into the farm fields to enjoy your ice cream and cheese. And so to me, it's really great. I think they're big shoes to fill. I will say, I think we have a dynamic bench of amazing folks with resumes that we know of, people that might come out of the woodwork. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's an exciting time to be a Democrat. I will say, I was interviewed yesterday about that there are certain parties that are gleeful because they thought that the only person that could be hard to beat would be Tony Evers. I just wouldn't be that happy if I was the party that cut homeless veterans shelters here in Green Bay, who couldn't expand Medicaid, it doesn't have a plan for housing, and at the national level is cutting stuff for veterans, the elderly, and children. So I do think it's a moment where I think Democrats have a good chance because we have a deep bench, but I want whoever's running next for governor to be people-oriented and outcome-driven.
Talking to State Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner. See, it's getting too hot. I need more water. Sorry about that, Representative. Here in our studios in Green Bay, he represents, what's your district number? I'm sorry.
90.
How can I forget that?
Way out here.
Great Packer number as well.
That is a good
yeah. 90 in the Assembly District out here. A minute left. Let's set it up. We'll come back and talk about it. Give us just the 30,000-foot level of this legislation you're proposing to limit spending by the state legislature on lawsuits.
So when the governor got elected, along with the AG, the lame duck session in concert with Scott Walker passed a series of laws that basically gave the power to majority powers in the state Senate and the state Assembly that they could hire lawyers mm-hmm. that they wanted on the taxpayer dime without any votes and without a complete blank check. And so what we've seen is over the last about 10 years, $27 million of partisan election lawyers and lawsuits that taxpayers have paid for to go after these causes, none of which they have even won.
Yeah.
And so my bill would change that. So, this is common sense. I don't think a Democrat or a Republican should have this ability, but we're going to dive right in. But it really is shocking that we're even allowed to do this. Yeah. It's not good for democracy. It's not good for anyone. But at the end of the day, taxpayers shouldn't have to carry the bill for partisan attacks. If people want their own lawyers, they should get them, but taxpayers shouldn't be on the hook.
Look at this. A politician who could hit a timeline like that. That's fantastic. No, I mean, I think it's a great bill. We're going to come back and discuss it more because I think you're 100% right. If these people in the legislature, both sides, by the way,
yes,
want to go after people, lawsuits, for purely, in my opinion, partisan reasons, let them spend their own money, but quit using taxpayer money. Going to talk more about this on the other side with State Rep. Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner of the 90th Assembly District, and also to talk a little bit about why Green Bay is setting the trend on taxpayer transparency when it comes to our schools. Don't go anywhere. We're live from Green Bay, Wisconsin. WGBW across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported last fall that Maine voters approved ballot question 1, limiting contributions to super PACs spending money in state elections. It passed with massive voter support, but like the state's foreign influence ban, was ruled as likely unconstitutional. That's what organizers hoped would happen. The ballot question reads, do you want to set a $5,000 limit for giving to political action committees that spend money independently to support or defeat candidates for office? The act also required super PAC donors to be disclosed. A First Circuit Federal District Court ruled July 15th that both provisions violated free speech protections and pointed to the Citizens United, Buckley v. Vallejo, and other past U.S. Supreme Court decisions. Harvard Law professor Lawrence Lessig argues that large contributions to PACs risk quid pro quo corruption of supported candidates, even if a candidate isn't directly speaking with the super PAC. Elon Musk's America PAC and crypto industry super PAC's support of Donald Trump are recent examples. Lessig said in 2023, when the initiative was announced, that it was designed to force the U.S. Supreme Court to answer whether contributions to super PACs can be regulated by states in the same way state candidate contributions are limited. The case will next be appealed in the First Circuit, then could reach the U.S. Supreme Court in late 2026. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt and Air on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tallyball Show, live on location in WGBW, our great studios here in downtown Green Bay. Packer training camp underway a couple of miles away. Going to talk to Mike Clemens, our great sports reporter, about that a little later on this hour, so stay tuned for that. But right now, always a pleasure to be joined by Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner of the 90th Assembly District here in our studios. Representative Rivera-Wagner, glad to have you along. Want to get right back into this bill. We set it up a little bit before we stepped away. But essentially what this bill does, you correct me if I'm wrong, in layman's terms, saying, hey, legislators of either party, if you want to basically file lawsuits for political gain or to score political points, that's on you and your dime. You can either raise money yourself or your organization, but as taxpayers, we're not going to have that, the taxpayers paying these kind of frivolous lawsuits.
Absolutely. Just to drill down a bit more,
please.
What it does is right now, when Governor Evers was elected, the Internet Lame Duck Session, which we talked about earlier, they changed a bunch of these laws, giving the authority to the majority leader in the House and the Assembly and the Senate. And they can unilaterally write a check and say, we want you to sue an individual, entity. In fact, the reason why it's so prominent for me is in Green Bay over the last 48 months, we were the target of two of these lawsuits, both of which they lost, but they spent collectively $5 million. And that was just of state taxpayer money that wasn't on the defense that the city had to take on, which was also taxpayer funded. So upwards of $10 million were spent for them to, and the biggest case was the Michael Gableman case that accused us of one thing, of having little people in our machines, of having two internets, even though our machines are connected to the internet.
But I'm not trying. Let me make sure we get that point out there.
Yeah.
The machines in Green Bay for counting votes are not connected to the internet.
Right.
I just want to make sure people understand that, because there's a lot of misinformation.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right.
Go ahead.
But we spent $5 million not only investigating that, they then tried to arrest the mayor of Green Bay and arrest the mayor of Madison, again, for allegedly stealing the election from Joe Biden, or for Joe Biden, against then President Trump, and now President Trump. And so taxpayers funded this farce. Now it is widely not only debunked, Michael Gibbon lost his law license on this court case, an investigation, because it was so unprecedented that it was unethical, because it did not meet any single legal standard. But at the end of the day, so he loses his law license, but the people of Wisconsin are on the hook for all of the costs related to that investigation.
And meanwhile, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss becomes the Peter of all this, saying, I never knew him. I never knew Gableman. Who is that?
So one of the few things me and Representative Voss agree with, that this was an embarrassment to the state of Wisconsin. But we were still put on the financial hook to pay for that. And that is unfortunate. And so my bill would change that law, at very least, any legal representation, because there are times in which the state legislature needs to have legal representation, would have to go before the full body. Anything like a special counsel would have to go get a majority in both bodies. And this is would be like any other bill, any other budget, that you'd have to get a majority vote in a public-facing way where the documents are public to be able to actually get a lawyers to pursue lawsuits on behalf of the state legislature. That is what normal democracy looks like. It is quite unique in the country that we just have one or two people getting to decide that, you know, we don't like you, so we're going to sue you. The second lawsuit was after we got death threats from the Gableman lawsuit. We had increased security at City Hall. So during a mayoral election, a random state senator sued the city for adding improvements and enhanced security at City Hall. And you know who paid the bill for that?
Taxpayers.
Yeah. They lost that lawsuit as well. But it was a $1.8 million to try to influence a local election. And so to me, I don't think anyone should have this power.
Right.
I think this is not about Republicans and Democrats. It's about common sense, and it's about democracy.
Yeah.
If you're going to make a case for why the legislature needs to fund unlimited, a blank check for lawsuits, you should have to make that case and get the majority of people of the legislature to vote for it. And so this bill is common sense and simple.
I love every part of it. Long overdue. It's about transparency. No matter who you voted for, at the top of the ticket, red hat, blue hat. Everybody should be on board with this. Only about a minute and a half, or maybe 2 minutes left here. Not enough time. But I learned this yesterday, and you had a large part in this because of this. Again, transparency. Give us the 2-minute version of this. It's so important.
So one of the things that happens at the local level is your tax bill tells you where it gets spent. And one of the largest sections of your tax bill is the school funding. Given the realities of the budget, we are going to have to go to referendum. Mm. What people don't know is that whatever money you get allocated from property taxes to schools, a certain percentage right off the top goes to voucher schools.
Private schools.
Private schools, privately funded schools that have a different set of accountability, have different rules, do not have the same access and or accountability of a traditional public school. Most people don't know that when we go to referendum, that they get the money right off the top.
Right.
So what we figured out is that you can put the exact amount, the total amount of tax dollars that are going to private voucher schools on your property taxes, and we put it on our local ballot. The irony was, this was about transparency, not even whether you were pro or con voucher schools. You should know that this large amount of money, before it even gets to the first public school kid, is going to private voucher schools. It was a fascinating fight where we actually saw statewide actors come down to Green Bay, tell us how terrible we were for trying to hold voucher schools accountable, but it passed with the mayor casting the tie-breaking vote. And it's going to go on the first tax bill this year. And we're very excited because we think that taxpayers deserve to know, and transparency is important, and they should know how much money. And just in Green Bay alone, $12 million comes right off the top before our public schools. We're having a $30 million potential referendum.
Yeah.
$12 million of that is going to go just to private voucher schools.
Well, congrats on this, because this is real legislation that affects real people's lives. You're getting it done. I appreciate that. And we're going to talk more about this, because I think every candidate for state office should answer the question, are you for transparency where school money goes on your tax bill? Great work. I appreciate you, Ramon. Rivera-Wagner, representative of the 90th District. Come on back soon. We appreciate you. All right. Thank you so very much. Stay tuned. We have Robin Vining next on a big announcement at Clemens on Green Bay Packer training camp. Don't go anywhere after this. The Todd Allbull Show live from Green Bay on the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's estimated that some 87% of U.S. agricultural businesses were using some type of artificial intelligence as late as 2021. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. It could be something relative to software, or it could be something like auto-steering guidance. Whatever form of artificial intelligence your farm is using, be careful. That's the advice of Dr. David Cole, Professor Emeritus of Agriculture and Applied Economics at Virginia Tech College. He was in Wisconsin this week sharing his insights on this new technology and how we should carefully be using it.
For example, we saw drones during the other day, spot drones on the dairy farms. We have all the information, got the robotic milkers, etc. So it's going to accelerate strategic decision making. But one of the things you got to be really careful is that it's not always going to give you accurate information. And so what you have to do is you still have to have the human filter. And the other thing AI is going to be, it's like you. We're doing this interview. AI could do the interview, but it's your nonverbal communication and being able to interact. That the more you go high tech, the more you have to have the human and the high touch.
Dr. David Cole, Professor Emeritus of Agriculture and Applied Economics at Virginia Tech College. He was a guest in Wisconsin this week, cautioning that artificial intelligence only as good as the human operators overseeing it.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStacks Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corn traits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and, of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
And the Wisconsin Corn Promotion Board has become a platinum sponsor of the Wisconsin FFA. Shane Goplin, Secretary of the Wisconsin Corn Promotion Board, says they are the future of agriculture and they're happy to support the team. One of the messages you may note in the future is their promotion of unleaded 88 fuel that the officer team will be using to travel the state. That's a look at food news on a Friday. I'm PM Yonke.
As Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Hazy sunshine from smoke, a high today in the mid-80s, little humid. For tonight, a partly cloudy sky, lows dropping to the upper 60s. Shower and storm chances return for the weekend. Partly sunny and highs in the mid-80s to 90. It's 82 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul Vandenplas,
the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr joins the show with new music and great conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe, weeknights 6 till 8.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location in our studios at WGBW in downtown Green Bay, Wisconsin. Coming up later this half hour, going to talk with our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, who's a couple miles away at Packers training camp. He's going to be attending the shareholders meeting here at 3 o'clock and is kind enough to visit with us just before that. So stay tuned. Clemens will be here. We'll always look forward to our visits with him. Also going to talk in just a moment to State Representative Robin Vining, talking about her big announcement. But first, Somers, I have to remind people we're right smack dab in the middle of our free Brewer Ticket Friday giveaway. Yes, it's a statewide contest. These are big tickets, folks, not just because it's the club-level seats at AmFam Field in Milwaukee for tickets, but these are tickets that people are really trying to get right now because it's for Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, July the 30th at 1:10 in the afternoon against the Chicago Cubs. Brewers right now a game ahead of the Cubs in the Central Division of the National League. This series could tell the story of who comes out on top of the National League Central. Again, this game for Wednesday, July 30th at 1:10 against the Cubs. Here's how you can be eligible to win four tickets to this game. And you have to be able to go to this game. We can't trade them out for any other game. Download the Civic Media app. Go to one of the first 11 stations on the app after you open it up on the Civic Media app. Click where it says text. Then it'll pop up and text the word, and I'm not making this up, it's my first name today, T-O-D-D. The word is Todd, T-O-D-D. Text the word Todd, T-O-D-D, as in David. Make sure that you use two D's, T-O-D-D. The word is Todd. Text it right now after or at the 4 o'clock hour. The computer will randomly select someone with the correct entry, and that person will be going to the Brewers game on July 30th for tickets. The word is Todd, T-O-D-D. Text it right now to the Civic Media app to be eligible for those Milwaukee Brewer tickets. 37 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock, and joining us via StreamYard, State Representative Robin Vining. Representative Vining, thank you so much for being with us. I believe this is the first time you're on our show. Pleasure to meet you, at least virtually, as we do with everyone on this program. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and what led you to the state legislature.
Thanks so much, Todd. I'm so happy to be here. I'm happy to meet you. I'm an Air Force brat. I've grown up all over the country. And my husband and I moved here to Wisconsin when our kids were really little. And just immediately this was home. And this is where we wanted to stay. And my path to politics really started in 2011 when Scott Walker was elected with the assault, really the attacks on public education, on educators, on workers, and marching around the Capitol with our tiny little kids. And then watching our kids go through their entire entire K-12 experience under those funding cuts. And that really led me to run for office in 2018. That's what that's my start. So here we are.
And so you've been here since 2018, and I've been in the legislature. And for people that don't know, kind of summarize where your current assembly district is at geographically in the state.
Sure. So this is my third district in four legislative cycles because the maps have changed so much. And right now I am honored to represent the people of Wauwatosa, Brookfield, and Elm Grove. So just outside the city of Milwaukee in the Milwaukee metro area. And about half my district's in Waukesha County and half my district's in Milwaukee County.
Do you represent the Brookfield Zoo? Because I love the zoo.
No.
Or is that just outside? All right. Well, you know, I thought I'd try. All right. Well, we hear a lot about you in the news, doing great things in the legislature. I understand, Representative Vining, that you're making an announcement today in terms of your political future.
Sure. So, yes, last week we announced that I'm running for the state Senate seat. We're very excited about this. We believe this the Wisconsin State Senate to be the most flippable chamber in the country, and this is the most flippable seat. So after 15 years of fighting for the things that we believe in, we finally have a chance to win, and we're really excited about that.
And who's the incumbent right now in this district?
Well, we don't know if he's running again. He hasn't said. But currently in the seat is my colleague, Representative Rob Hutton. Or, I'm sorry, Senator Rob Hutton.
Right, Senator Rob Hutton in the current seat. And he hasn't announced whether he's going to run or not. I think this is very interesting because you bring up this great point that due to fairer maps in the kind of the agreement between the Supreme Court decided, or the legislature decided to basically adapt Governor Evers' maps in the state legislature. And we've seen this. You know, I'm from the other side of the state, originally in southwest Wisconsin, and incumbent State Senator Howard Markline, who has not, I guess, officially announced whether he's going to run for election or not. But his district got greatly more competitive because he lost the northern part of his district, which was really, really deep red. And it kind of spread it out more south of the Wisconsin River. And he has more people, I would argue, that are from, you know, blue parts of the state, and it's more even. And I think that's going to create a fairer race in that state Senate seat. Tell us about your state Senate seat or the seat you're running for, Representative Vining. Is it kind of the same thing? Was the map configured to make it more competitive?
Well, it's certainly a competitive seat. We see this as kind of a 51-49 race where we're favored by about 2 points. So really tough, really tight race. And I am really excited because one of the things that I have experienced over the years with those different maps is getting to know the people across this entire Senate district, because my assembly districts, I flipped the 14th assembly district in 2018. And then in 2024, I was drawn into the 13th assembly district with a Republican incumbent, and I flipped the 13th assembly district. So I have been able to, over the last 6.5 years, represent the people of Wauwatosa, Brookfield, Milwaukee, Elm Grove, West Allis, and now the district also includes Pewaukee and Waukesha, and then town of Brookfield. So I have represented a large portion of this Senate district in my time in the assembly. And yeah, we think it's competitive, and I think it's great.
So we're speaking with State Representative Robin Vining, who announced last week she is going to seek a seat in the Wisconsin State Senate. I think most political pundits that look at this think that that's probably, although you never know, probably the most viable route for Democrats to pick up at least one of the houses in the state legislature in the 2026 election. As you look at issues, Representative Vining, and start campaigning now for state Senate, what are you hearing at the doors? And the short answer that you always ask people in this situation, why are you running for state Senate?
Sure. So the issues that I'm hearing from people have been consistent over the years. And it is fully funding the public schools. It's affordable health care. It's making sure that everybody has access to mental health care. It's ending gun violence. It's the housing affordability crisis. It's combating climate change. And it is the cost of childcare. And so we are hearing that. I mean, part of the great luxury of just having represented West Allis 2 years ago, I heard it in West Allis. I know intimately the struggles with childcare and school funding there. And I hear it across the district now as well. So Wauwatosa, Brookfield, Elm Grove. Yeah.
So I apologize. This is on me. I've been up here running. We already did the Wisconsin Public Education Network conference yesterday, so I haven't had as much time as I normally would to prepare. That's on me, but I'm unfamiliar. Did you vote for or against the state budget that passed and Governor Evers signed into law?
Sure. I voted against the state budget. I voted against all four state budgets that I have voted on in my time in the legislature.
And is there a particular reason on this one that you said no?
Well, so I think we just negotiated that budget on a Republican playing field. And that is why run for office right now? Why run in this really difficult seat? Because the path to the majority runs right through our Senate district. And the way that we get a state budget that's not negotiated on a Republican playing field is by winning the majority. That's how we fully fund the public schools. We fund childcare as infrastructure. We pass legislation that's going to end gun violence. We make sure that healthcare is affordable. We address the climate crisis. We address the housing affordability. And so my take on the state budget, it just wasn't good enough on those issues. We funded childcare in the first year, but not in the second. We won't dive into the minutiae of that, but I believe the public schools are at the heart of our communities. They should be at the heart of our state budget. I want to see significant investment there. I wrote the bill that included a 90% special ed reimbursement rate, and I want to see that in the next state budget.
If you look at the state budget, I know some Democrats, and I'm not saying you can speak for yourself whether this includes you or not, so there are some Democrats that were disappointed in Governor Evers for not fighting more, drawing a red line in the sand for public education like he did more so for child care for the UW system. Do you think that Governor Evers could have, should have gotten, more squeeze of the juice, as they say, on public education this budget? Or why don't you think there was more money in this budget for public education?
I wasn't in the room. The assembly wasn't even invited into negotiations. And so my perspective really is we were on a Republican playing field. The second we started on a Republican playing field, we lost. And so we cannot negotiate to where we need to get when we're still on a Republican playing field. So, that's my take.
So you just think it needs to more, at least one of the houses of the legislature needs to be controlled by Democrats in order to get more of these things passed? Is that a fair statement?
Todd, I think we need both houses of the legislature to get these things passed, and I think we need to hold the governorship. That's how we can really, truly deliver, right? The law, the will of the people is the law of the land. That's what we say in Wisconsin. It's on the governor's conference room ceiling, and we have got to get a legislature and an executive branch at the same time that represent the will of the people in order to make it the law of the land, and that includes the state budget.
I was, as I said, here at the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit yesterday. One of the things I learned that I'm really impressed about, and we just had Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner on. He was one of the lead people that did this. I got it through, at least, that the city council in Green Bay worked with the school board up here, and they got this transparency put on people's property tax bills. So the next property tax bill is going to specifically say where the money goes for public schools and how much of that goes to voucher schools. I think that's just good transparency on tax dollars. Are you in favor of that sort of transparency on tax bills statewide?
I sure better be. I authored the bill as soon as I was elected in 2019.
Mm-hmm. So you were the co-author with Representative Rivera-Wagner?
Well, when I first started in the legislature in 2019, mm-hmm. That was one of the first bills that I co-authored. Yeah, I'd like to see that transparency as well. Absolutely. Yep.
About a couple of minutes left here. What have I not asked you that you think that people, more so, not across the state necessarily, but in Southeast Wisconsin, in this state Senate seat that you're running for, what issues do you really think that they need to know that I have not asked about so far?
Sure. So I authored a big package of bills called Mental Health Care is Health Care. I think that we need to talk about mental health care as health care. I believe this to be a multi-partisan issue or a nonpartisan issue. I think everybody cares about mental health right now, and it's affecting people in all corners of the state. And it's an issue that we should be talking about when we're out campaigning. But it's an issue that we should be talking about all the time. So mental health is a really big issue that I hope Democrats spend more time talking about, and I hope that we can find some support across the aisle on.
I think I couldn't agree with you more. We need more help on mental health. Is there something, and we only got about, I guess, a minute left here or so, but is there one specific thing in mental health that you would like to see addressed?
Yes, I mean, I would like to see a much larger investment in K-12 schools. We did a good job in the UW system in the state budget. The allocation, I think, was really positive, and I want to credit the governor for that. But we need to see a much larger investment in K-12 mental health access. So, yeah. And I think that's our job for the next 12. Then that's our job for the next year as Democrats, right? We have a 15-year history trying to come back from the Scott Walker era, and now we have about 15 months to tell people what Democrats are going to do when we get the majority and how we can make life better for Wisconsin families.
State Representative Robin Vining, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you soon on the campaign trail. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you so much. Come on back and talk a little football. Mike Clemens live from Lambeau Field after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511wi.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511wi.gov. That's 511wi.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. After weeks of speculation, Governor Tony Evers has finally made his decision. He is not running for a third term. Evers has had an accomplished career as a dedicated public servant for 5 decades and has been a terrific governor for the state of Wisconsin these last 6+ years. And we should be grateful for his time in office. It's been a job well done. But all things must pass. In making this decision to step aside and not seek another term, Tony Evers is doing what he has done time and time again. He's doing the right thing. And perhaps in making this decision, Governor Evers can be the one to turn the tide on the Democratic Party's unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. In his own unassuming way, the mild-mannered former science teacher who became Wisconsin's governor can be an example to Democrats across the nation. Because we know what happens in Wisconsin politics often has ramifications that reach well beyond the state's borders.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All of these things should sound off alarm bells bigly. And you see what Donald Trump's doing with Harvard and with Columbia. You see what he's doing with Paramount. ABC capitulated in a lawsuit to Trump. We're America. We're not Hungary. We're a democracy. We're always going to be a democracy. Yeah, that's what they thought in Hungary. The way that Viktor Orban and the right wing gained power was by using a little bit of power to get more power, to use pressure on networks.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt and Air on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tom Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live in Green Bay, home of those Green Bay Packers at our station WGBW here in downtown Green Bay. And nobody better to talk about those Packers than our very own sports reporter Mike Clemens, who is live standing by at Lambeau Field, about to go into a shareholders meeting, but kind enough to take a few minutes with us. Mike, how you doing?
Okay, I'm sitting on the visitor's bench at the 50-yard line. It looks like about maybe 8,000 or 9,000 fans in the stands behind me. And then at the 50-yard line is a stage with a shade over it with about a dozen chairs, because that's where the board of directors guys will be, the executive committee. And there's where Mark Murphy will deliver his final shareholders meeting to the finances. You know, it's open records on how the team did in the past year. And at the end, he'll officially kind of hand it off to Ed Policy, who's the new president and CEO of the Packers after 17 years.
It's really remarkable. The Packers put out, you probably saw some great video on social yesterday, of Mark Murphy going around signing stuff for kids and talking to fans. You got to give him credit. He has really done a great job after taking over the reins of Bob Harlan of keeping this franchise together and moving it to the next level.
You know, he takes over the job and he goes into the summer of 2008 in the Favre saga. And he goes down there and offers Brett $20 million to just retire and let us move Aaron Rodgers into the starting role at quarterback, and you can sort of be our ambassador. And Favre turns on him and goes on Letterman and tells the media about the offer and says, you know, I want to play. That's all. I just want to play. And then they had that whole meltdown. So that's how that, you know, his run started. But, you know, he went around and he saw what the Cubs did with Wrigleyville around that property. Mm-hmm. And he saw what the Patriots did with the Patriots Village. And he hires this guy named Ed Policy, who was sort of his right-hand man, who'd grown up around the 49ers and then later the Cleveland Browns, his father, Carmen Policy, a president. And together they put together Titletown. And you know, they understand that Lambeau Field is this mecca. And the real estate around it is hallowed ground. So they turn that into real estate for offices, apartments, condos, attractions. They lease it out to – they don't own the restaurants. They find the people that are restaurant experts. They lease them to them, and these are all revenue streams. So now you get to a thing here where not only is he bringing in those kinds of outside revenue streams, but when he started 17 years ago, his shared revenue from the NFL, because all the teams split up the NFL with a salary cap, he got $138 million. And yesterday he told us this year they got – $438 million. I mean, it's quadrupled in his 17 years as the president of a team.
Is Murphy available to do any financial counseling for me, Mike Clemens? That's what, I mean, he's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Hey, let's we're talking to Mike Clemens, our great sports reporter, live at Lambeau Field right now via phone. A big news on the Zach Tom of offensive lineman. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, he got a contract, you know, it was next 4 years. He's locked down. The big number on that was $30.2 million, which makes him the highest paid guaranteed payment offensive lineman ever. It's a signature bonus he got. That's a pretty big deal. But it also means from a football perspective, Zach Tom's going to be a tackle. I ain't going to be moving him to center anytime soon. They want him to anchor the right tackle. So we've been watching, though, Elgton Jenkins, who they're moving from left guard to center. Now, he's got some sort of a back situation. He was out there again today watching practice. Looks like he's coming along, but we're waiting to see what his contract is going to be, because when they spent $77 million on Aaron Banks for the 49ers to take over left guard, his old spot, move him to center, his agent called the Packers and said, I beg your pardon. I mean, you're going to be paying my guy if you're going to move him to center. So we're waiting for that to get ironed out here probably in the next couple of days.
Interesting. Can you tell us quickly, do you know anything more about this this guy from Australia or New Zealand that came in a kicker and got some fluke injury of football in the eye during warm-ups, and he might be done? That's just crazy.
Yeah, and frankly, I never even got a chance to talk to him, but it's some kind of a freak accident where he had an eye injury. All I can know is that Brandon McManus today kicked one from 54 yards. I mean, it went right down the middle. And I turned to Pete Doherty from the press and said, whatever happened to Anders Carlson? The guy that they drafted a couple of years ago. And they said, okay, enough of this project. Let's just get someone who can kick the football. So that was a very smart. So, you know, they go into this season, Todd, with basically there's no more excuses. You can't blame Joe Barry. You can't blame Anders Carlson, you know. You can't blame inexperience. The core of this team is in their third year. Matt LaFleur's in his seventh. There's an urgency to get to the Super Bowl here.
Well, I heard you on Matt Naranera with Jane and Greg yesterday or day before, whatever it was. I thought this was very interesting to me, if you could repeat it quickly. Ed Policy, no guarantees here this year for anybody.
That's right. I mean, when we asked them in about a month ago, Civic Media, we got into this little circle kind of conference, and we asked the new CEO and president who takes over tonight, hey, you know, Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst, contract extension for them. He says, I don't like to have guys not get signed if they're 1 year. But, you know, they've got 2 years left. We'll revisit that next year. Basically, he put LaFleur and Goody on a, let's see what you can do this year, and then we'll talk about extensions. So, you know, it's a show me. It's a show me year.
Yeah. I think in a lot of ways, the Packers always appreciate reporting. Mike, 1 minute left here. Mike Clemens. Now, we're downtown here, Mike, and there's this big yacht that pulls up. And I said, well, Kreitlow gave Clemens a ride to Green Bay. Any truth to that, Mike? Did you get a ride in the boat?
No, I rent a pontoon on Eagle River from time to time, but that's all I got for you.
Okay. All right. Any other quick big news out of Packers training camp before I let you go?
Yeah, Matthew Golden looks great. I mean, yesterday in practice, a couple of times, Jordan Love throws a little slant pass from over the middle. He turns, and he's looking at a corner, a nickel, and a safety, including Evan Williams.
Wow.
He jukes them one little move, and he goes up the middle between the hashes, and he's gone. I mean, just explodes. And I talked to Evan Williams, he goes, yeah, he's going to be a
fantastic
problem for defenses. Yeah.
Mike Clemens, our Hall of Fame reporter, we appreciate you, my friend. Have a great time at the shareholders meeting. Thanks for making time for us, Mike. Stay tuned.
Thank you,
hour number two is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I think it's time, Terry, that the Lombardi Trophy goes home to Lambeau Field where it belongs.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Deportation flights have begun from the Florida Immigration Detention Center dubbed Alligator Alcatraz. Governor Ron DeSantis says his state is a game changer.
Florida's playing the leading role amongst the 50 states, and I don't think there's anyone that's even close to doing what we've done.
Jeffrey Epstein's convicted accomplice, Ghislaine Maxwell, faced a second day of questioning by the Department of Justice. She's in prison for sex trafficking. Her attorney, David Marcus.
She has been treated unfairly for the past 5 years. She didn't get a fair trial. We're still appealing to the Supreme Court.
Epstein died by suicide in a prison cell. There are growing calls for his case files to be released. From the South to the Midwest and the East Coast, extreme heat has Americans seeking relief.
Honestly, it was a really hot day, and in New York, there's like a lot of things to do, but the pool just seemed like a really good idea today.
Millions of Americans are under heat watches or advisories. CBS News Brief, I'm Heather Bosch.